download, including that new one. Download the official LBC app for free from your app store now. James O'Brien's the other side of the news. I'm with you tomorrow morning from 7. Meantime, stay safe.
Thank you, Nick. The time is approaching 10 o'clock, and I wonder whether something altogether more important might be approaching for a political party widely regarded and often described as the most successful in history, or the most successful in the world. It's chatter at the moment, but it's chatter that is gaining in volume and reaching parts that previous chats have not reached. The Conservative Party faces problems. Is its leader one of them? Is a headline on the BBC. Dominic Cummings, remember him? Has suggested that the Tories may have reached an event horizon, after which there is no way back to relevance, to electoral success. I think it's time for us to have a talk about whether or not the Tory party as we know it is finished.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation, this is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 10 o'clock, Downing Street says a court ruling blocking Donald Trump's trade tariffs is a domestic matter for the US. Judges at a federal trade court have ruled that Mr. Trump exceeded his authority by using an emergency law to impose the import taxes. The White House is appealing the decision. Christian May, editor-in-chief at City AM, says the president will be furious.
The tariffs will stay in force until that appeal is concluded, and it could go all the way to the highest court in the US, of course, which may be more sympathetic to Donald Trump. There is some market reaction already, though. It does rather take away the bullish strength of Donald Trump's negotiating tactics. If your trade opponents, if that's how Donald Trump views them around the world, now think there's a chance that the American courts could wind this all up.
Figures seen by LBC show a steep increase in the number of children being caught with knives in schools. There were more than 2,300 cases in the last full school year. That's a rise of 60% over 2 years. Some involve children as young as 9. An AI face-swapping app described as dangerous has been removed following an LBC investigation. Social media adverts for the app show it being used to put children's faces onto sexualized images of adults. It's already been downloaded more than 1 million times. Megan Hinton is from the Mary Collins Foundation, which supports abuse survivors.
I'm horrified. It's just an extreme violation of self to have your face or parts of your body manipulated in this way. I think we also stray into a bit of a danger area here, where if you're encouraging people to put children's faces on sexualized content of adults, we're actually then looking at encouraging offenders.
It has now been taken down from Apple's App Store, and TikTok has removed advertising for the app. Israel says it will establish 22 new Jewish settlements in the occupied West Bank, the biggest expansion in decades. Some of them already exist as outposts, but they'll be made legal under Israeli law. Most of the international community views the settlements as illegal and an obstacle to resolving the conflict with the Palestinians. 4 million customers of Nationwide are to receive a bonus payment of £100 each. It's posted a 30% jump in annual profits to £2.3 billion after a year that saw it complete the takeover of Virgin Money. In the city, the FTSE 100 a short time ago was trading down 6 points at 87.19. The pound buys $1.34 and the euro 19. LBC weather, cloud and patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells developing in eastern and central areas. A high of 23 degrees. From Global's newsroom for LBC, I'm Thomas Watts.
Got an unexpected message, phone call or email that claims to be from HMRC? Take care. It could be a criminal pretending to be us. To protect yourself, never rush to share personal information or part with your money. Learn to recognise signs of a scam, such as being put under pressure to share bank details. And if something seems fishy, report it to HMRC straight away by searching HMRC Scams on gov.uk. Protect, recognise, report.
This is LBC from Global, leading Britain's conversation with James O'Brien.
It's 4 minutes after ten, and this is not a conversation about what you want. I think it's important to make that clear, not just to you, but to me as well. It's not a question of what you're... Also, Be very careful of what you wish for. Johnny's up early this morning. I never thought I'd say this, James, but I'm actually dreading the ultimate demise of the Tory party, but only because I see what the replacement looks like. Open racism, far-right hate, zero checks and balances. The trajectory, of course, paved by the said Tory party. So that's a sort of timely reminder of being careful what you wish for. But there are a couple of things going on at the moment that make it a moment in which I think it is pertinent to wonder whether or not they are facing an existential crisis. I don't remember the last time it happened. It looked for a while like the SDP were going to do terminal damage to the Labour Party, not least because three of the biggest Labour beasts were in the original Gang of Four that set the party up. I mean, popular legend has it that the invasion of the Falkland Islands by Argentina changed the electoral calculus completely because the sugar rush of patriotic fervour that it delivered to Margaret Thatcher and her extremely robust handling of the situation changed the polling, changed the popularity contest that politics often is completely. But they kind of knocked at the door. The Liberals were overtaken by Labour, weren't they, in the early parts of the 20th century. What had been the Whigs, the Tories and the Whigs had been the two big beasts of British politics for generations, and then things changed, largely, I think, because of representation of working people and the rise of the trade union movement, the Labour Party in its infancy being essentially the political wing of the trade union movement. I'm going to start with a quote written by the two senior correspondents at the Beeb in the politics department. And they quote a shadow cabinet minister. Yes, it is, a shadow cabinet minister. Could this be like the 1920s, where the Liberals got overtaken by Labour? This time, of course, it would be the Conservative Party being overtaken by Reform. And it's very weird. It's one of the reasons why I want to talk about it. Some people have bothered to run a rule over Farage's economic claims, and he's going to make Liz Truss look like Mark Carney. There's no surprise there, right? Of course he's going to make Liz Truss look like Mark Carney. He was one of the most prominent political figures to describe Liz Truss as some sort of economic genius before the wheels fell off the UK economy. So what is he going to do but try more of the same? You've seen his hero, Donald Trump, having all manner of problems on the other side of the Atlantic. Today alone, being told by his own federal court or the United States' own federal court that his tariff plans are not allowed. But that doesn't seem to matter. Kemi Badenoch is disastrous. 7 months she's been there. She, according to, again, the sources that have spoken to these journalists, is the problem. It's pretty bad, says one Conservative advisor. I don't think you would find many of her supporters at all who would either tell you it's going well or that they expect her to be there at the general election. Now, so far, so normal. Right? So far, so ordinary. The Conservatives are ruthless in their defenestration of leaders who the rank and file feel are likely to lead them to electoral oblivion. Selfishness kicks in a way that it doesn't in the Labour Party. The Labour Party keeps dead duck leaders in place for far longer than it should do historically. The Tories move swiftly and they move ruthlessly. Never more so, of course, than when they got rid of Margaret Thatcher. But the calculation is always this. We'll do better with somebody else. Ian Duncan Smith never fought a general election because it became clear to his colleagues that they would do better with somebody else. And I think it is actually that simple, that there's a ruthlessness that kicks in and overshadows almost everything else. Would we do better at the next general election with somebody else? And if the answer to that is yes, then it is sandwiches wrapped in a roadmap time for whoever is in the leader's office at that moment. So far, so ordinary. But what if things don't improve? What if nobody could do a better job? What if something is shifting as a consequence of many factors, some of which I might be able to spot and some of which I won't? I mean, the rise of the online right, which is riddled with lies and misinformation, but unfortunately, people who believe lies and misinformation have exactly the same vote that people who don't have, so you can't be sniffy and dismissive of it. It is a democratic cancer, but it is also a collection of valid voters, if you like. So that seems to be the constituency to which people are increasingly appealing, oddly, including, sometimes it seems, the Labour Party. A story today about how immigration reductions in some sectors are going to hit the Treasury quite hard. It's a direct contradiction of what Keir Starmer has claimed. Tax revenue, if there is a reduction in immigrant workers in the engineering and IT sectors, the economy will be harmed and tax revenue will be decreased. This is the government's own immigration advisers telling ministers, contradicting Sir Keir Starmer's claims this month that the sectors had become too reliant on migrants. Anyway, you see who he's appealing to with that kind of comment. So that's when things become really interesting. I want to say something that might strike you as false modesty, but it really isn't. You will be at least, if not more, interesting than I am on this subject. Look, some days it's my job to get the ball rolling and to throw some conversational hand grenades into the mix in the hope of shaking you out of your stupor and prompting you to engage with the programme, either directly by ringing in or indirectly by shouting at the radio or having a conversation with me in your own head. But some days I'm groping around in the dark as much as everybody else is. And I'm struck by two or three things that have happened recently. The first is the move here for a BBC article to quote a shadow cabinet minister contemplating the demise of his own party strikes me as close to unprecedented. I've followed politics on and off since about 1988 when I started studying for my politics A-level, and I can't off the top of my head remember a time when the Conservative Party was being described as facing existential threat by anybody serious, let alone an actual shadow cabinet minister. The second thing is it's weird, isn't it, with Cummings? Because the one thing he'll never do is acknowledge the role he has played in completely kebabbing the Conservative Party, not least by putting Boris Johnson into Downing Street and then clearing the way for Liz Truss to come along and tick any boxes of incompetence and awfulness that Johnson had somehow missed. But Cummings is nothing if not unself-aware. But for somebody like that to talk about, as he did yesterday on Sky News, an event horizon being passed, the possibility that they've got, let's call it the point of no return. The Conservatives have gone past the point of no return. That's two things. And the third is the Badenoch problem. She's objectively awful. It's terrible, really. It would be wonderful to see a black woman in particular offering up a brand of popular conservatism that both recognised reality and reflected common decency. You might not like the Tories historically, I don't particularly, but I can point at people I admire who have come through the Tory ranks. It's a bit of an obvious list, probably. Amber Rudd, and I still have to do that little mental check there that I'm not about to mention Amber Heard. I don't know why I've got a mental blockage on those two Ambers, but I do. David Gawk, been doing great work in the Justice Department. Of course, Rory Stewart is often your go-to man for decent Tories. And you may disagree with them passionately on many ideological issues, or let alone policy issues, but they are not people who strike you as fundamentally awful, fundamentally incompetent or fundamentally dishonest. And if the Tory party is to become a fundamentally dishonest movement, then they're trying to eat the same lunch that Nigel Farage has been eating for years, making promises that can't be kept, demonising foreigners and various vulnerable groups, apple pie tomorrow, mother love today, all of the things that are the in the arsenal of the populist in opposition seem to be the things that the Tories are going for today. It's coming out to 14 minutes after 10. And the big stuff happens sometimes without you noticing. You suddenly realise that things don't have to stay the way they have always been. Things don't have to stay the way they have always been. And of course, at the weekend, something we haven't mentioned yet, Boris Johnson sounding out the possibility of a comeback, which tells you that they have learned, or he at least, and his supporters have learned precisely nothing. So I've got two questions for you. The first is the obvious one, and just hit the numbers seriously and tell me what you think and why. Do you think they've passed the point of no return? 0345 6060 973. And remember, I want you to tell me what you honestly think, not what you want to be true. Do you think that the Tories have passed the point of no return? If a shadow cabinet minister is positing that possibility, then there's absolutely no reason not to ask that question today. And then here's the second question. I've got an answer to this one. What would recovery look like? What would resurrection look like? I said to you, about 5 years ago? I said to you that I could conceive of a moment where the Tories campaigned on a return or closer ties with Europe. It was so obvious, so quickly, if not immediately, that Brexit was going to be a disaster, that the only question that hangs over British politics, like a sort of sword of Damocles, is the question of who's going to move, who's going to blink first. Keir Starmer doesn't really blink, does he? He blinks with one eye and leaves the other one open. So, you know, all this talk of closer ties, a deal that is actually moving very much in the right direction, hopefully a youth mobility scheme kicking in, lots and lots of things going on that constitute closer ties, but not actually close enough. The only circumstances in which I can see the Conservative, and this may be me, maybe time to call the nurse, but the only circumstances in which I can see the Conservatives offering up an electoral package that nobody else is offering. So Labour looking increasingly centre-right, you know. Reform hoovering up the sort of populist lies and lazy jingoism, which is always going to be popular when cost of living is high and people feel unloved. So where on earth do the Conservatives sit? Well, Europe has been the defining issue of the modern Conservative Party since the early 1970s. And may it continue to be so. They'd be the ones that actually hit into closer European. I don't know. So there you go. Those are your two questions. And if you hit the numbers now, you will get through. Do you think that the Conservative Party, as a shadow cabinet minister suggests this morning, could be facing the end of the electoral road? Oblivion. Have they passed the point of no return? 0345 6060 973. And if there is a way back for them to relevance, if there is a path back to relevance, what does it look like? What does that path back to relevance look like? And I'll say it again. I don't have anything to say on this that's more interesting than what you say. We are absolutely equal on this, because we pay roughly the same amount of attention to what's going on. We inhabit the same universe. We know the same names and the same characters. And here we are. 0345 6060 973. Centre-right might have been a bit punchy to describe Keir Starmer's Labour Party. Mike's very unhappy with me, and you're probably right, actually. But, you might say passionately centrist. Actually, that may not be fair either, but we're not talking about the Labour Party. We're talking about the Tory Party. Have they reached the point of no return in 2025? And if they haven't, what might the way back look like? It's 10:17. The number you need is 0345 6060 973.
LBC.
What's your possible? The vision only you can make happen. Whatever the size of your business, accelerate your growth with the Intuit QuickBooks AI-powered platform. Power your possible with the number one recommended cloud accounting software, Intuit QuickBooks. Based on a survey of 506 UK accounting professionals. Verify at quickbooks.co.uk/verify.
For simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, visit petsinapickle.co.uk. For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
The countdown to summer is on, but how would you spend it if you won £10,000? A tropical holiday? A luxury cruise? A garden glow-up? With £10,000, you could get summer ready in no time. Enter now at winplus.co.uk. Winplus. Great prizes. Real winners. 18 plus GB only. T's and C's apply.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prices available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6th, 25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/bin.
For whoever they want to be in life, give them a great start with Well Kid. Carefully balanced, great tasting vitamins and minerals for 4 to 12 year olds with specific nutrients such as zinc and vitamin D, which support normal immune system function. The Well Kid range from Vitabiotics, from Boots, pharmacies and vitabiotics.com.
James O'Brien on LBC. Call 0345 6060 973.
19 minutes after 10 is the time. Matt's in Northampton. James, the only way the Tories can come back is if they acknowledge how bad Brexit has been. They need to own it. The obvious path is that Jenrick takes over, they move further to the right, split the votes of reform, and then Tory splits in a sort of 20% UKIP Brexit, even more racist spread. The Liberal Democrats step in to be the more left party, and Labour become your slightly right party, swallowing the more central Tories. Blimey. That's a sophisticated analysis. I don't know, is the short answer, but it feels to me like a moment is being reached. I cannot conceive of a Conservative leader stopping the rot. I don't know what that leader would look like. Michael Heseltine? But as Matt points out, it's much more likely to be honest Bob Jenrick, who, and I'm going to build a little bit of tension for this, and I don't think I've ever said this before, and I doubt I'll ever say it again, he has played an absolute blinder on social media in the last day or two. I mean, truly, an absolute blinder. And his leadership ambitions can be seen from space. But what on earth could he do if he came in to lead the party that isn't already being done further to the right of where the Tories are now? I don't know, but I do know this. It feels like a moment has been reached. If you're a traditional voter, we've had some lovely conversations historically with between you and me, despite the fact that we may not have much common ground in terms of traditional politics. But if you are a Conservative voter, like James, who also raises Brexit, as an ex-Conservative voter who last voted for Cameron, I'll only return to the fold once they have a leader who says that Brexit was a disaster. And that day still seems a long way off. But if you've only ever voted Tory, and there's nothing wrong with that, I've only ever voted Labour in general elections. But if you've only ever voted Conservative in general elections, or if, as near as damn it, you've only ever put your cross in the Conservative box, I think you go to the front of the queue this morning and get the first invitation to answer the question of whether or not your party is toast. And, of course, we haven't looked at the why of it. Why is it toast? Why has it collapsed so quickly and completely? I got a horrible feeling that a lot of the people responsible for the quickness and completeness of its collapse will be the first to sharpen their knives and usher in a new dawn. But we will see. 22 minutes after 10 is the time. Raymond is in Falkirk. Raymond, what would you like to say?
Good morning, Mr. O'Brien, sir. Hello. How are you?
I'm very well. What's on your mind?
Well, just basically, the question is, the first question about the Tories, they're completely gone, kaput, finished. I spoke to your colleague on the phone just 5 minutes ago to say that just apart from my personal feelings, how I feel about it all, factual things, the bookmakers, who at this stage just now, quoting prices for the next election, which it could be 4 years, unless something desperate happens. Right now at the moment, joint favourites are Reform and Labour to be successful. Right now, you can have at minimum 4-1 the Conservatives to win. They have as much chance as winning of me being in the moon at 3 o'clock this afternoon. They are gone, finished, forever. Forever. All the people, and I'm speaking from people not just being Scottish mentality and blinkered.
Where the Tories have not been in power for generations, of course. We have to
I understand, yes, but I'm trying to make this subtle point, Mr. O'Brien, please.
Call me James.
Please. James. I'll call you James, but I get so angry and frustrated.
I can tell.
And my blood pressure goes through the roof, Mr.
Raymond?
O'Brien.
On this, what, yes? On this subject, why?
I'll tell you why.
I'm listening.
I'm an old man of 80. I've seen lots of things go down the years. And let's be honest about it. The state what we're in right now, society, I'm looking at it all. the standards of everything I appreciate and respect has completely sank through the roof. I'm looking at idiots that are supposedly, you've got your let's be honest about it. Take the Tories right now. In the United Kingdom, the thing that's waiting, that's looming on the horizon, is a poisonous guy called Nigel Farage with his reform idiot. Have a look. Lee Anderson, Richard Tice, do me a favour. This is bonkers, This is nonsense.
I was hoping
Mr. O'Brien, I respect
I'm trying to
you
calm you down, but I don't think I can. I think I agree with you, actually. But I worry about your blood pressure. I'm not being patronising. Right, I am listening.
Please. If I go into a local Witherspoon's pub, and they're all over the place, I can get an idiotic statement. Willie knows what he's talking about, and Farage is a guy, and Donald Trump. I am listening to, there's people, saner people, in Kirstairs, which is a criminally, it's an institution for mentally deranged people.
Be a bit careful. I mean, I do genuinely, I don't know if I can say calm down to you. That might make things worse, but there's two...
I can't calm down.
Well, you have to calm down, Mr. Raymond. Seriously, this is okay. Becoming a medical issue rather than a political one.
Now you're telling me.
I am. I might agree with everything you say.
Now you're telling me. I've got a wonderful sense of humour, but it's running short.
Well, you and me both, Raymond. You and me both. So why have the
I'll tell you why.
Yes, I'll wait. I'll be quiet for a while. Yes.
Because they are completely short. Let's just take this area. I'm not trying to make it Scotland, England, please, but for a second. In Scotland, all we have up here, I'm trying to be as quick as I can.
Seriously. I'm not going to say goodbye to you until you feel that you've said all your bit. Your spleen is vented, Raymond.
You could finish at 2 o'clock tomorrow. What I'm trying to say is, just for one example, up here we have Celtic Rangers, and it's a religious thing.
Yes.
The majority of the Rangers supporters are Tories. Now the Tories are going nowhere, and the only place they can go, this is only one area, small area, you know. They're now joining Reform, and they're singing the praises. And it's like a part of a Scottish whatever cult. And down south in England, this is my main point. Mm. Who have we got? We have the Tommy Robinsons, the Paul Goldings. We have GB News. We have all these idiots as presenters. This is no longer the Daily Mail and the Daily Express. We have got GB News, and we had Talk TV. Look at the idiots that are presenters. They're all ex-UKIP. They're all ex-Labour. We had Jonathan Gullis has now got his own programme.
Stop. No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
You're winding me up.
How can I tell you a lie, Mr. O'Brien?
I'd follow you over the top, I think, Raymond, this morning. So I'm going to take your word for it on that one. Is there any way back?
No chance. They are kaput. Have a look at Kenny Badenoch. She looks like Winifred Atwell's daughter. For goodness sake, she'd be better playing the piano. Have a look at them all. Each one is more idiot. And
Robert Jenrick.
He's swastik as us, Mr. O'Brien.
He's what?
Swastik as us.
That's a little bit strong. I don't think you can call him a Nazi necessarily without.
Well, he looks like one.
What do you mean he looks like one? Don't spoil it, Raymond. You're on fire at the moment. That's a Nazi look. Anyway.
Let me explain that.
No, don't. Let's just scratch the swastikas and leave everything else in place.
Right, but please.
I will.
I was being rather flippant when I say that. But the point is, it's like some of these so-called pictures from the war, and somebody that looks like, and they say he plays the part well. That's the point I'm trying to make.
And he's doing populism now in a way that is quite potentially effective. I wonder whether we actually all need to be a bit more Raymond. Because I can get very angry about things, but my anger began to dissipate, oddly, when I delivered the manuscript to my last book. And that's not a plug for the book. It's just that's how I get my feelings out, like you've just got your feelings out on the radio. But
it's
actually,
good to talk to you, Mr. O'Brien.
It's great to listen to you, Raymond. It's great to listen to you. But actually, I don't know that... I mean, blood pressure notwithstanding, I don't know that I should be telling you to calm down, because the only truly patriotic position now is fury.
Yes.
Potentially.
You're right.
Well, yes, next time we'll talk about the Labour Party.
No, but please, could I just say one thing? It's not quickly. So much fury.
Yeah, no.
I'll tell you what it is.
What?
We're using Marquess of Queensbury terms, boxing terms, to fight a gang.
I wrote that line, Raymond.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
It's got halfway. It's got all the way to Falkirk. I wrote it in the Times Literary Supplement nearly 10 years ago. It's a great line, isn't it? Turned up for a knife fight with a pair of battered boxing gloves and a tattered copy of the Queensbury Rules.
Yes.
You're a legend, Raymond.
Thank you very much, Mr. O'Brien. I'll take that as a compliment.
And please call me James.
Okay, James, have a nice day.
You take care. It's 10:30, needed that, actually. Who knew? Who knew that we all needed Raymond in our lives this morning? I'll get him onto what he thinks of the Labour Party next time, although he might want to take cover, I sense. But he subscribes pretty powerfully to the notion that the Tory party have gone past the point of no return. It hasn't left an awful lot of room for disagreement, but you are, of course, welcome to. And the thing I'd really like you to do is tell me two things. Why? Why has it gone so badly, so wrong? I mean, Boris Johnson's massive majority was in 2019. It was 6 years ago. It looked like they'd be doing laps of honour forever. Unless you understood Brexit, of course, but still, a lot of people thought they'd be doing laps of honour forever. How has it gone so wrong so fast? 03456060973. And crucially, is there any way back? Hit the numbers now, you will get through. Thomas Watts is here now with your headlines.
The White House has promised to appeal after a US court blocked Donald Trump's trade tariffs. Judges in New York have ruled Mr. Trump overstepped his authority when he brought in the levies last month. Figures seen by LBC show children as young as 9 are being caught with knives in schools. There were more than 2,300 cases in the last full school year, a rise of 60% over 2 years. An AI app described as dangerous has been removed following an LBC investigation. Social media adverts for the app show it being used to put children's faces onto sexualized images of adults. LBC weather, cloud and patchy rain for many places. Sunny spells developing in central and eastern areas, a high of 23 degrees.
This is LBC.
It's your home, darling. Let's make it fabulous. High scoring isn't my forte, but there's no arguing with Trustpilot ratings. Shutterly Fabulous have an expert team of fitters who specialise in one thing, simply gorgeous window shutters. Made to measure, hand-finished and expertly installed. Make your home Shutterly Fabulous. So don't dither, darling. Book a free consultation with our expert shutter fitters today.
Looking for a fixed passive income backed by real demand? With ulezprosperity.com, you buy the car, we rent it from you for a set period. You stay the legal owner and we pay you up to £600 per month in fixed rental income. No hassle, no maintenance, no tenants. It's a straightforward asset-backed rental agreement. Visit ulezprosperity.com for conditions and to learn more. That's ulezprosperity.com. Simple, steady, secure.
Imagine your dream holiday made possible by comparing cheap flights on Kayak, walking on an unspoilt goes on for miles beach on the Sardinian coast, plunging into the splendor of an idyllic lagoon in Greece. Ah, yes, this is the life. All you have to do is actually book it. Don't holidays. Use Kayak to compare prices from hundreds of travel sites and airlines to find your dream deal. Search Kayak and go see for yourself.
With Little Plus Fruity Super Spin, simply shop and spin to win a free fresh fruit coupon with every shop. Download the Little Plus app to get by switching to the Retail Industry Awards Fresh Produce Retailer of the Year. 18 plus GB residents, various prices available, subject to availability. Ends 4th of the 6/25. Full T's and C's apply. See little.co.uk/spin.
When you're smiling.
Banning Dental Group Clinics. With over 5,000 top-rated Google reviews. Keep on smiling.
This is LBC with James O'Brien. Call 0345 6060 973. Text 84850. Alexa, send a comment to LBC.
It is 33 minutes after 10, and congratulations to everybody who's joined me in realising that everybody loves Raymond. That much-loved television programme deserved a mention towards the end of that last call. Better late than never, eh? Well done, Dave. I think you were first. I used to pat myself on the back quite a lot. Well, that's just true generally. But my predictive powers were never you know, it never involved ESP. They were never clairvoyant. There are quite a few of us who understood stuff. Me, because I got the right people to explain it to me. You, possibly, because you were paying more attention than I was for longer. But we were able to predict what would happen so that there was no shock when Brexit ended up costing the country billions and when it turned out that they didn't need us more than we needed them. There was no shock that Boris Johnson's premiership ended in abject disaster, because on this programme in particular, going right back to when he was mayor, we'd been chronicling his catalogue of calumnies, moral corruption and depravity tirelessly for years. And there was no shock when Liz Truss turned out to be an absolute disaster, because we were among the first places to properly point out the idiocy of having secretly funded lobby groups masquerading as think tanks, essentially putting politicians in their pocket and determining policy, as happened with her, to the point where they actually boasted about having done it. So all of that was predictable. And we've been pretty good at pointing out how bent most of the media is, particularly on those issues. Yeah, in fact, on that sort of holy trinity of hopelessness, Brexit, Johnson, Truss, you can line up all the Daily Mail commentators, all the Daily Telegraph columnists, all the editors, even the odd LBC presenter who are four square behind Brexit, Boris Johnson and Liz Truss. And the bit I didn't see coming is how one of the people most responsible for all three of those things, or even if you don't want to focus on an individual, the bit I didn't see coming and really should have seen coming was the bit where people thought, oh, we just need to do it again, but harder. We just need to do the same thing again, but harder. Do you remember when I told you about those scam operations? When you get a letter from someone you've never heard of claiming that they need your help, they need access to your Abbey National account to get $467 million out of a bank in Abu Dhabi or Lagos, and they'd be happy to split the proceeds with you. And somehow, through a relatively sophisticated psychological process, they suck you in and you give them your life savings and then they go quiet. And then a year later or 6 months later, this is the bit that I always found extraordinary, you become more likely to fall for the second bite than you are for the first. Because is that what's called a sunk cost fallacy? No, it's something else. But because you've already given them your life savings, they come back and say, oh, we're so nearly there. We're so nearly over the line. There's just a few more bribes that I have to do. Is there any way you could sell your house and send me the money and then we'll have the $476 million by Christmas? And the psychology, or the psychologists tell us, that will work. That is more likely to work than the original con, because you've now got losses to chase. So you sell your house and you send them the money you send them the proceeds and you never hear from them again. But that seems to me to be where support for reform is. You backed Brexit, you backed Boris Johnson, your leader told you Liz Truss was an economic genius, but if we just carry on doing the same things but louder, the same things but harder, then next time it will work. You know, there is a brilliant outcome. It just goes to a different school. True communism has never been tried. That's where we are now. It's the worst blend of populism and reality. But the question we're asking today is what that means for the Tories. Because other people are now hoovering up the legacy, the ludicrous belief that if we'd only just shouted, believed a bit, oh, that was it, wasn't it? Believe in Brexit. Do you remember? People would say that with a straight face. Previously serious people would tell us that we just had to believe more. So the people who think that it will all go good if you just believe more, and I'm afraid I have to say, become even meaner towards people that weren't born here. If you just believe more and hate foreigners more, then everything's going to come out all right. And what I hadn't foreseen was that some of the key architects of that holy trinity of hopelessness, the people that brought you Brexit, the man really who calls himself Mr. Brexit, the man who greased Boris Johnson's passage into number 10 Downing Street, the man who described Liz Truss as the architect of the finest budget he'd seen in decades, how does he come out of this popular? That's a question for another day. But all of it adds up to an almost impossible path ahead for the Tories. So they're finished, aren't they? They just are. Well, I mean, what does recovery look like for the modern Conservative Party? I am good at this. And that's not false modesty. That's a bit of arrogance. And I've proved it. I'm good at this. I'm good at telling you what's going to come next. I've just told you something I didn't see coming, probably because I have too much faith in the great British public. And I'm telling you now, I can't see a way back for the Tories. But I could, of course, be wrong. 0345 6060973 is the number that you need. 10:39 is the time. Chris is in Burnham-on-Sea. Chris, what would you like to say?
Good morning, James. Well, I thought Raymond was incredibly passionate.
Everybody loves Raymond, Chris.
Oh, well, I mean, you should give him his own programme. I thought he was absolutely incredible.
It's not a bad idea. I'm on holiday next week. I don't know who they've got in for me yet. I'll see if Raymond's busy.
yeah, get him in. I mean, to be honest with you, I was slightly insulted when he said that anybody who kind of voted for or thought Farage was okay was mentally deranged.
A bit strong, perhaps.
It was a bit, and it did kind of insult me a little bit. But I'll give you my take on things.
Yeah, if you would.
I'm in my 70s now, and throughout my life I've always voted Conservative, and I've been a member of the Conservative Party.
Right.
But never, never, ever again will I vote for them.
Why not, mate?
Why not? Hmm. Because, well, I can give you a number of reasons. Right, here we go. We've had Theresa May, we've had Cameron, we've had Truss, we've had Johnson, we've got Badenoch now, we've had Sunak. Not one of them, you know, you add all of them together, they wouldn't have made a decent prime minister.
But you, I mean, respectfully, you voted for all of them. Well, all the ones that stood for election, at least.
I did, but never again. Right. Never again.
What was the point of no return? Because, I mean, I'd have thought it might have kicked in a bit sooner, Chris. What was the point of no return?
No, that's a very fair point, James. You're absolutely right. I'm not going to argue with you on that. But 14 years. Yeah. You see, whenever they come up on the television now and they're making these arguments, we're going to come up with some ideas. Give us time. You had 14 years. You couldn't run your programme. If you made mistakes, James, on your programme, you might get away with one or two.
Perish the thought.
But
this is why I'm pushing you towards the point at which you realise there was no way back, because you voted for Sunak. Did you vote Tory at the last election? Did you vote?
No, I didn't. Okay. I voted Reform.
Reform. So that was the breaking point for you. Electorally, what was the breaking point politically? What was the point at which you thought, I can't vote for these people anymore?
Well, you must have something to do with it, James, because I didn't.
Not if you voted Reform. Not if you voted Reform, mate.
I'll tell you.
But I just want to know when, and I want to know when you realised that you had, that the Tories had lost you forever.
Johnson, Boris Johnson.
But you voted. Okay, no, I'm not going to bully you.
Yeah, Boris Johnson, because he messed up. He messed up Brexit. Basically lied. I remember seeing a programme on the television, and all sat round the cabinet table, and Johnson's banging the desk saying, 40 new hospitals, what are we going to build? And like a load of sheep, they're going, 40 new hospitals.
Yeah, I mean, in some ways, that was old-fashioned politics. Lots of prime ministers have made promises that they couldn't keep, but Johnson broke something. It's why it's so odd to see them talking about a comeback. And you don't think that that Mr Farage is just sort of Boris Johnson Mark II. Clearly.
It's crazy. The other thing is, there's just been a poll out, and this will tell you just how low the Conservatives have sunk. Who do you want for the Prime Minister? Well, the latest poll I've seen is Farage 28%, Keir Starmer 24%, and then we go down and we get Johnson, I think, is 10%.
And they're still talking him up. They're doomed, aren't they?
I know. Crazy.
I mean, the polling I saw this week actually does the head-to-heads, where it is Starmer versus Badenoch, Starmer versus Farage, Starmer, and Ed Davey versus, and Farage actually gets knocked into a cocked hat on all of them. So we're in an interesting political time, Chris, but one thing is certain, the Tories have lost you forever. There's no way back. Robert Jenrick comes in and starts doing a Nigel Farage tribute act. That wouldn't tempt you back into the fold?
Not a chance.
Not a sausage.
He's got no substance, no substance at all. Not only that, James, but they just don't have the quality of politician.
Well, that is, I mean, yeah, but that is where, I mean, this is where you and Raymond agree, up until the point where he starts listing the politicians that are in the party that you voted for at the last general election. And, you know, you've got your 30p Lee, you've got Rupert Lowe, you've got Farage. I can't remember the others, but I don't know that that necessarily speaks to a golden age on the horizon when the calibre of political figure improves, Chris, but we are where we are, and I don't want to fall out with you, so we shall let that pass, except, of course, for the necessary observation that that Brexit wasn't necessarily messed up by Boris Johnson. It was just always doomed to be a disaster. And he was one of the key people involved in telling the country, and I think you perhaps fell for some of these lies, that it could go well, or that it could be somehow good for the United Kingdom, or indeed that they needed us more than we needed them, or that the German car industry would never let the UK be treated like a normal third country, or that you could leave a club while still retaining all the privileges of membership. But that, Chris, is a conversation for a different day. Any Tories think there is a way back? Any Tories think it isn't over? That it isn't sayonara for what is supposed to be the most successful political party in the history of the world?
This is LBC.
Next time you walk their dog or feed their cat, when you pop by for a cuppa or just stop for a chat, tell your friends about Pension Credit. They could be missing out on an average of over £4,000 per year to boost their pension income. Pension Credit also unlocks other support like help with heating costs, council tax, and a free TV licence for people over 75. Tell them to search for Pension Credit on gov.uk. Pension Credit. Credit where credit's due. Eligibility criteria apply.
Discover outlet shopping at the O2 this spring. Save up to 70% off RRP on over 60 designer brands, including Nike, Adidas, Levi's, Kate Spade, The Cosmetics Company Store, Le Creuset, and more. And with over 30 bars and restaurants, a cinema, bowling, climbing, interactive football, mini golf, paddle tennis, and indoor skydiving, why not stay for the day? Visit us at North Greenwich, just 15 minutes from central London. Search outlet shopping at the O2 and plan your trip today.
Getting ready for summer? It's time to scrub the barbecue, mow the lawn and dust off the wine glasses. At Waitrose, we're getting ready with 25% off six or more bottles of wine or fizz over £6. Like a fruity San Leo Prosecco, perfect with aged Parma ham. Or a crisp Whispering Angel Rosé, ideal for your first barbecue. And our number one Chablis, the aromas of fresh peach pair beautifully with a seafood salad. Start the summer with some great savings at Waitrose.
Selected stores online, subject to availability. Excludes Scotland, boxed wines and bottles priced £100 and over.
If you bought a home on a holiday park in the UK, what you thought you were getting may not be what you ended up with. From unexpected site fee increases, running costs, a huge depreciation in value, many owners feel they've been missold. If you think this might be you, holidayparkadvicecentre.co.uk could help you receive the compensation you're entitled to. Text ASSIST to 78900 to find out more. That's ASSIST to 78900.
Here at Pets in a Pickle, our name has caused some confusion. We've had people asking us what pickles we recommend. And a lovely lady looking for a pickle costume for her pet. But they've all been barking up the wrong tree. We actually offer simple, fuss-free pet insurance policies for cats and dogs, including unlimited access to video consultations with First Vet. So, for pet insurance policies as unique as they are, visit petsinapickle.co.uk. For actual pickles, try the supermarket.
This is LBC. Message James O'Brien on WhatsApp now on 0345 6060973.
10:48 is the time. Mark, thank you. I think you get... We should put funniest text of the day or something. Well, you know what'll happen. I won't remember. I had quite a lot of messages after I speculated on air about whether or not I might have ADD or ADHD or something like that. And it's fair to say there's a fairly broad consensus that there's quite a lot of evidence. And key among that evidence is my proclivity for forgetting stuff shortly after saying it and saying, we'll do this every day, and then not doing it ever again. But that doesn't explain... Why are you nodding your head? Because I can forget stuff. Why are you forgetting all the stuff that I tell you to remember? You said maybe everyone would think we've all got it. We could all be in the zone. I don't know. But anyway, if I did remember to do, this is my funniest text of the day so far, and it could be a sort of running chart if any of us were paying attention, couldn't it? It would be Mark. He writes, put Marc Francois in charge. Not to save the Tory, just for my entertainment. And on a slightly more serious note, Sophie writes, the way back for the Tories is James Cleverly and war with Russia. I used to like Cleverly. In fact, I probably still do. I just don't like socialising with politicians because it means that when I have to give them a kicking, I feel bad about it, and I don't like feeling bad about it. But I liked Cleverly when we did a TV show together, I think it was. And we only fell out when... do you remember when they wrote about David Frost having a patriotic breakfast? This is possibly, and there's obviously quite a lot of competition, but this is possibly the maddest thing that ever happened to me on social media. David Frost wrote about having a patriotic breakfast before going off to do negotiations. And the Daily Telegraph wrote it as a straight news story. As he had sausage and black pudding and bacon and a fried slice. He had a patriotic breakfast. And it was as if we were supposed to salute his breakfast like a bloody flagpole. It was truly one of the moments of utter madness that I've ever encountered in the interplay between media and politics. I naively presumed that everybody would agree with me. You can't have a patriotic breakfast any more than you can have a patriotic candy floss. But it didn't stop people from going a bit temporarily loopy. So I did a thing. I was waiting. I can even remember where I was. I was in Five Guys in Piccadilly Circus waiting for my youngest to come out of the loo. And I just did a quick Google on where all these ingredients came from. You know, like we invented sausages. Do me a flavour. Sausages came from somewhere like, I don't know, ancient Sumeria or Egypt in the time of the pharaohs. And bacon was first cured by the Vikings. Or anyway, I did a quick thing. Hens were first domesticated by Persians. I just did a quick, like, ever so funny, I thought, ever so innocuous little tweet about, don't be ridiculous, you can't have a patriotic breakfast. Sausages come from here, bacon comes from here, eggs come from here. And even by the standards of my Twitter account in its heyday, the response was absolutely extraordinary, up to and including cabinet ministers, namely James Cleverly. Was he a cabinet minister at the time? I think he probably was. Attacking me. I don't know what for. Not saluting at the breakfast. That is like something out of an Armando Iannucci movie, isn't it? What's O'Brien going to be executed for? He didn't salute the breakfast, sir. Salute the sausage! David Frost is off to Brussels having had a patriotic breakfast, and James Cleverly joined in. He just said, you're better than this. I said, you're better than this, he wrote. You're better than... I'm not saluting David Frost's breakfast. I'm sorry. It does not leave me wanting to burst into song. Oh, David's having his breakfast. Oh, happy time for we... Perhaps he'll have some eggs and a lovely cup of tea. I refused to sing and salute David Frost's breakfast, and James Cleverly had a bloody go at me. So I sent him a polite direct message saying, I think this may be the end of the warmth in our acquaintanceship. And then I bumped into him the other day. Spoiler alert, he was in this building. And he couldn't remember why we'd fallen out. And briefly, nor could I. And then I remember, but by then he'd gone, so I thought I'd share it with you instead. I refused to salute David Frost's breakfast, patriotic breakfast, and therefore I fell out with James Cleverly. But I actually agree with Sophie, not necessarily about the war with Russia bit. I don't know if that would be a necessary part of a Tory resurgence, because they'd have to be in power to make that happen. But yeah, James Cleverly is probably the only one left who looks like a proper politician. Good Lord, what an extraordinary moment this is for the Tory party. And as Chris reminded us, somewhat unintentionally, the person hoovering up all of the, what would you call it, the side effects of the disaster of the last 14 years is a bloke who would be even worse. He would do all the same things, but worse. So where do the Tories come back? What do the Tories do? Sue's in Thurrock. Sue, I do apologise. I don't know quite where that sort of strange aside came from, but we're here now. What would you like to say?
Well, first of all, when you said David Frost, I was thinking David Frost, the old presenter on the TV.
Yes.
And I realised who you mean.
I don't believe he ever had a patriotic breakfast, the treacherous swine.
Probably not. No, I've been a lifelong Tory voter. And That was until 2019. When I didn't actually vote at all, and I've always had the belief that if you don't vote, then you're effectively handing a vote to whoever the winner
is. You lose your right to complain in a way, don't you?
So, as well, yeah. But I think you're also helping, you know, whoever gets into power.
Yes.
But at the time, I couldn't have voted for Corbyn. It was just a step too far.
Sure.
Last time, I did vote Labour. But I've always considered myself right of centre. But the beginning of the end for me was when you had the likes of Suella Braverman saying that on my behalf, she was coming out with all of this really nasty rhetoric. And I'm thinking, actually, no, I didn't vote for that. And, you know, your researcher actually asked me what makes me different to Tory voters that have gone to Revolt.
Yeah.
It's because I'm not racist.
Okay.
I mean,
a lot of them would say they weren't either, but we'll wait until we're talking to them to examine the receipts, as it were.
Yeah, you know, and the lies. But, you know, sort of, as I say, part of the beginning of the end for me was when they sort of actually started going into this clickbait and blaming, you know, sort of anybody but themselves for their failures.
Yeah. It's a tricky one, that. It's a tightrope, that, isn't it? Because, I mean, never explain, never apologise is an effective mantra. It can work. But equally, I don't know what you need to be to pull it off. Maybe a sociopath.
Yeah, the thing is, though, is that they're doing a lot of complaining and no explaining.
Oh, that's a good line. Is that your own?
Yeah, that is my own.
That's mine now.
Yeah, because, you know, the line is never complain, never explain.
But
they are complaining a lot.
Right. And they're never explaining. And it gives Starmer a bit of an open goal every Wednesday, because everything she brings up as a problem, he can point out they created.
Or that they did nothing about for the last 14 years. But
precisely.
I do believe that there's a lot of Tory voters, like myself, that are the, you know, bit right of centre. And maybe feel like, you know, we haven't got a political home anymore.
Because you're not obsessed with immigration.
Exactly. And, you know, and my fear is that if a lot of those don't actually bother to vote anywhere, that gives Reform their toehold.
It waves in the even more extreme alternative.
Yeah.
So the breaking point for you was Suella Braverman's period as Home Secretary, when she was essentially accusing anybody who wanted the IDF to stop killing babies in Gaza of supporting Hamas.
Yeah, that, and also, I mean, you sort of mentioned James Cleverly. I thought he was okay.
Yeah, me too.
Until we had Breakfast Gate. Well, for me, it was when he was joking about drugging his wife.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that. Yes, that was very unfortunate, wasn't it?
On the day when they were sort of bringing in the date rape.
Yeah, it was a Rohypnol joke, quotes, joke and joke. What about the Liberal Democrats? Why don't they pop up in these conversations as much as they should do?
Well, the thing is last time I was going to vote Liberal Democrat.
Yeah.
Because I quite like Ed Davey.
Yeah, me
actually.
Too.
Yeah. But when I was actually looking at the ballot paper, my Liberal Democrat candidate had sort of bounced all over London, sort of seems to think that Thurrock is in Greater London, and it's not.
No, perish of thought.
And, you know, and sort of just desperate to get elected and, you know, sort of had no sort of thing. So I ended up voting Labour. I do actually think it's the best thing that I actually did, because our Labour candidate MP, absolutely brilliant. She's out and about and she's talking to the people of Thurrock, which is more than her predecessor did in 14 years.
That's good to hear.
You know, so...
But no way back.
Well, for
people like you, there's no way you're going to tack towards the sort of nativist snarls of Nigel Farage and his mates. But there's no way back into what I mean. Cleverly's offensive comments regarding his wife, notwithstanding, could there be a figurehead who might tempt you back to the fold, to the Tory fold?
I can't. Not that I can see,
wow.
You know, I'm not a Jenrick fan. You know, I don't think any of them have got any credibility.
There must be one. We must come up with. Can we not come up with one?
Well, I think they all sort of got deselected.
Cummings chucked them all out in 2019, all of the decent ones. I always reflect upon Philip Hammond, not a politician who inspires particular passions in either of us, I suspect, Sue, but to go from Chancellor of the Exchequer to being deselected by your own constituency party in the blink of an eye was, I think that was the beginning of the end, actually, wasn't it? Now we look back.
Yeah, it's, and I just feel so let down. I feel really sad about it all, actually.
Yeah, I can see.
You know, your earlier caller was, like, really angry about it.
Raimondo.
I'm just really sad.
Yeah. I respect both of those emotions, and I completely understand them both as well. Because you're coming at it from different angles. You're coming at it from buyer's remorse, and he was coming at it from a sort of bystander's fury, and they are both completely valid positions. Is Ben Wallace still in Parliament, or did he leave at the night? No, he's gone. So all the names you're sending me, they're not even in the game anymore. And you want a mark of how mad everything is? The rot began with that cull in 2019 when Cummings and Johnson got rid of anybody prepared to tell the truth. A truth that has now become absolutely irrefutable and irresistible. Brexit was going to mess up the country in unimaginable ways. And yet, of course, the people punting the lie that there is a brilliant Brexit, it just goes to a different school, or that we were right to support it, are somewhat on the march. Tobias Elwood, is he still in the Commons? I can't remember. It's not looking good for them either way.
On your radio, on the LBC app, and
play LBC.
Leading Britain's conversation. This is LBC.
From Global's newsroom at 11 o'clock, experts have warned that an increase in the number of children taking knives to school is being driven in part by social media.